God so loved, amen. He poured it out, hallelujah. And we got to receive it, didn't we? Amen. Praise God. Thanks for praising with us. Thanks, Ann. They've got this thing set up, so when I push this button, it starts recording. And so, welcome to our website audience. Today, there's a handful of people in the sanctuary. We're staying 6 feet away from each other or thereabouts, and we're participating with the guidelines that our government has set for us. And we're standing in the gap, and we're praying for our nation, praying for our, boy, the places that are being strongly hit right now, New York City and some of the West Coast places, and New Orleans is the latest place. So, Father, for people who are going through, it's a lot of sad things. I heard a story today of one, well, came via a friend in New Orleans, where a nursing home got hit strongly with the virus. And, you know, we're quarantined, of course. And so your last hours, it'd be nice to have your family around and to have some people. And of course, they're not letting anybody in. And so there for your last few days, and a friend of Tyler's, my grandson, has a friend who passed away in a nursing home. Their family couldn't get in to see him or be with him for the last few days there. Those are sorrowful times. The enemy is a thief. The Bible says this, says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the lousy news. Here's the good news. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we've got two things working. Choose life. Choose life. Choose to bless the Lord. Choose to draw near to Him. Amen. Praise God. He's standing with his arms open, and there are people who are running into his presence. Sometimes the things that seem the saddest turn out to be, if we could see it from the other side, turn out to be the most glorious. Sometimes I know, one of the saddest days of my life was letting my dad go. But that's from my vantage point here. I think if you could visit with him and say, the best day of your life, when was it? Isn't it ironic that probably the saddest day of my life was the best day of his life? Amen. So I got to think on one of those things. Which one are you going to think on? How sad I am or how glad he is? Amen. I think I'll just think about how glad he is and rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. And know that in the flesh, I'll be joining there too. All right. Praise God. Welcome to you this morning. Anybody have anything you want to share before we get started? I promised you we'd have a shorter service than usual, since we're a handful of people in here, so I'm going to get right into teaching pretty quickly. I wanted to remind you that some of our, it was on the screen up here earlier, the regular schedule of events, of course, is suspended. We're not having a Wednesday night gathering down here, but there is a Wednesday night teaching that is available to you on website. Our prayer times, our normal prayer times, now we're doing on conference call. We had 12 people on Friday, and some of our regulars that weren't there, so they'll be joining too. And I've visited with a few more people, so we're liable to. Here's how what the enemy means for evil. You know, God can turn around and work for good. He says, "I'll stop that prayer group, and it might go from 12 to 20, just because of what he monkeyed around with us." You know, we're liable to just get stronger. Amen. So you got to respond to it that way. Anyway, there's our schedule of events. The Saturday Mike Collins hosted men's Bible fellowship time has been suspended until this thing's over. Tuesday night, we usually have a group going to International House of Prayer. That's suspended until this is over, and they've shut down their ministry for outsiders now until we get this broken. So we're asking the Lord to come and deliver us from the shadow of all this coronavirus stuff and get things back to normal. There I said that. Now I'm going to teach you something probably just the opposite, but I think that part of the purpose of, I'm going to share with you today about overcoming, the overcoming power that's available to you. As I started off praying like they kind of told us to pray, let's all get together and pray that this thing would come to an end. And so that's how I started praying. And I kept waiting for the fervency of the Lord. Yeah, everybody know my language here, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And some things you pray and you don't have any kind of a witness. Remember last week's teaching, the candle of the Lord is the spirit of man, and he bears witness, his spirit bears witness with your spirit about some things. That's how you're led by the Spirit, when his spirit bears witness with you on the inside. And as I was praying, trying to pray my best to get this horrible thing stopped, I didn't feel any fervency, and I was led to start praying, God, cleanse your house. Lord, cleanse your people and turn them back to you with all their hearts. And just as sure as I started praying that way, the fervency that I was looking for with that other prayer showed up in me. It was the fire of God. And I knew how I was leading. It's not that God doesn't want to stop this. It's that whether you think God did it or God allowed it, if God did it, how many of you know that everything he does for a purpose? So let's not argue over this. Let's just say, and if he allowed it, can we just say this too? If he allowed it, then he allowed it for a purpose. Lord, would you let the purpose behind it come to pass? And you know what he's desiring? He's desiring for a church to love him with all their heart. He's desiring for a church that's been called a lukewarm church or a church that's lost its first love to return to him with a great fervency and the fire and the passion. And here as we're entering into the passion season, Lord, would you birth again in your people a great hunger for you, a great desire for you? Amen. Isn't there something to, we can relate to a hunger for pizza. Can you relate to a hunger for God? We can relate for a desire for pleasure. But see, His presence, in his presence are pleasures untold, is what the word says. And so there's he's desiring to bring us to him in a fresh way, back to himself. So here's what I'd like to visit with you about today. I'm going to give you a few scriptures to start with, and the theme is going to be on this overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that's resident in the church, but it's got to be stirred up. Amen. So I'm going to start off just in 1 John, and actually I'm going to start off with one chapter before the one I have here. I've got on the screen, you see 1 John 5, 4, and 5. Before I do that, can I read you this? And I'm gathering around the theme of overcoming. Maybe I need to clarify, when I say overcoming, to overcome something doesn't necessarily mean to get rid of it. Did you know it? How many of you would like to overcome your flesh? The flesh versus spirit thing. Would you like to overcome your flesh? But how many of you would like to get rid of your flesh? Well, I'll wait a few days. So, see, you can be in it and overcome it. And so I wanted to visit with you about the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a place in him, thanks to the Lord. In 1 John chapter 4, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God, because there's a lot of false things out there that have gone into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. How many of you have confessed that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that He's come in the flesh? Then every spirit that says that is of God. Now watch, I'm setting you up because that's that overcoming power. And every spirit that doesn't confess, now watch, we got two things going on. And my message to you today is that we've got to let God do what He's doing. And we got to participate with Him in what He's doing. Because sometimes, how many of you have ever needed a push a little bit to make a decision? I'm old school a little bit. I remember being in church services where at the end of the church services, do you know how many verses there are to "Pass me not, O gentle Savior"? And we knew them all. And we'd sing them sometimes three or four times because there were people that needed a little extra time, a little extra nudge to get over where they belonged. It's not that they weren't of God. It's that they needed a nudge. And did you know that there are those who, I'm going to tell you a story here a little bit. And some of you have been with me for a lot of years. I've used this as an illustration before, but I went to school with a couple of twins, and they were athletes. Both of them were athletes, but they came from a rough home. And their dad was an alcoholic, and when he came home drunk, he'd beat them. They'd come to school sometimes with an eye swollen closed, and the social workers were involved, and you know, it was just a mess. But one of them stayed in school and just developed a great resolve to press in to, he looked at his situation and he said, "I'm not going to let this determine my life." And something rose up in him and he overcame it. Because that was who he was and that was what the desire that he had in him, it was there. And his brother got real angry. And was angry at teachers and was angry at the rest of the students. And he became very rebellious and he was suspended several times. And then eventually he was expelled. The one brother went on to college and became a businessman and real successful. And the other one wound up in jail, last I heard, for a 25-year prison term. And they came. What I'm telling you is, they were both exposed to the same circumstances. And if you were to visit with the one, do you know what he'd tell you? He'd say, "My dad's the one that did this to me." And he'd say, "The rotten break that I had is the reason that I'm in this situation that I'm in right now." When I'm telling you this. When it says, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." Sometimes the situation that you're in is there just to give you the nudge. Sometimes we need to wake up because one of those, you see, one of them used the situation to develop a resolve to overcome, and one of them used it as an excuse to live like he wanted to live. And I'm telling you this, what's in your heart? Because what's in there is going to come to surface. And the circumstances that you're facing, don't use them for an excuse to submit to that which is wrong or evil. Use them as a nudge to press into that which is good, because the Holy Spirit's at work. Now, what I'm telling you about this virus thing we have an opportunity to be nudged by the Holy Spirit to become the fervent people of the Lord. Amen. Not to get bitter, not to get angry, and not to point fingers, and not to fall into the trap of putting the blame over there or the blame over here, but we've got an opportunity to turn to the Lord and to show kindness and faithfulness and to demonstrate the love of God and the mercy of God. Amen. So, and back in 1 John chapter 4, it says, the spirit that confesses Jesus is Lord, that's the spirit. And this is the spirit, and the one that doesn't confess him as Lord, it says, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. Well, I wanted you to just know that there's more than one spirit in the world. That's why it says, believe not every spirit. And the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Verse number 4, look what it says. You are of God. I don't know if you hear the comfort in that or not. Let me just point my finger right at you today. You are of God, Erlene. You're of God. Emily, you're of God. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome. I'm talking about the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Anytime you have that ER on anything, it makes it comparative. And that means there's something else present, but the greater one is here. So we got to focus on one or the other. Oh, let's get rid of some of our whining and some of our complaining and rehearsing, continual rehearsing about how awful things are. Amen. And let's turn to the greater one, because in the presence, don't use the situation for an excuse to release more murmuring, but let's receive the nudge from the Holy Spirit to enter fully in. Praise God. All right. Well, do you hear that? Now let's do the next verse. It says 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. What's this? For whatsoever is born of God, did we already establish that a minute ago? If you confess Jesus as Lord, then you're born of God. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Somebody says, well, I can't overcome the whole world. And it's talking about what's in the world. What's going on in the world? What's going on in the world today? If you ask somebody, he says, have you watched the news? What's going on in the world today? They say, oh, yeah, the virus thing's going on in the world today. But whatsoever is born of God overcomes what's going on in the world. Amen. I'm talking about the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And he who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So I'm just stirring up that, are you overcomers or not, according to the word of God? Amen. John 16 and verse number 33 says, I speak these things to you, little children, that you might have peace. He wants you to have peace and blessing. But watch, in the world you might think that peace is the absence of confusion and war. No, you can have peace in the midst of it. He says, I speak these things that you might have peace in the world. What do you know about the world? We just read it. He that is born of God, what? Overcomes the world, or what's going on in the world. John 16, 33. I speak these things to you that you might have peace in me. In the world, you'll have tribulation. See? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Come on. Would you like to choose that overcoming power today? Amen. That's what we want to do. So in the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Romans 8, that says 57. I'm sorry, it's a misprint. It should be 37. Romans 8, verse 37. You know what it says? No, not 57 verses in there, is there? Somebody says, I already looked up that one. Romans 8, verse 37. It says, you are more, listen to this, you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. How can you be more than a conqueror? See, there's a place over here where the peace of God's already there. It's one thing to be a fighter and to say, I can win. It's another thing to not have to. It's another thing to received the overcoming spirit of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Arlene was reminding us that plagues were poured out by the hand of God in Egypt, but it brought the people out. Does anybody know that the Hebrews, when they was in Egypt, needed a nudge? Did you think they needed a nudge? Do you think the promised land was there and laid up for them, but they needed a nudge to get out of their place? Amen. And so out comes this outpouring of plagues, and God had a place prepared for them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, "Oh, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph." There's victory. He always gives us the victory. Amen. All right, praise God. Now, next. Revelation 12, verse 11. Most of you know this. I don't want to get on any soapboxes and pretend that I am a seer and can understand about the end times, but I think most of us would agree that we might be part of a last days move of God. And one of the things that in the book of Revelation, when the spirit of Antichrist, remember we read it out of 1 John chapter 4 a minute ago, said that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world and it needs to be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit that's resident in you. And so this is speaking now about when the Antichrist comes to make an appearance on the earth, and it says, and he makes war with the saints. But tell me what happens. They overcome him. They overcame him. I'm talking about the overcoming power. And I want to release that to you today. And I want to stir that up inside you today. They overcame him, speaking of the spirit of Antichrist. And here's how they did: by these three things. First, the blood of the Lamb. Remember the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, how they got out of Egypt? You think they could have made it out of there without the blood of the Lamb being put there on the doorpost? Can I just tell you, do you think you can get out of this dilemma? Do you think you can make it without? Do you think you're going to make an exit out of your time of tribulation without the blood of the Lamb? Then we receive the gift of Jesus, don't we? Amen. Get the blood applied to your heart. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Next, by the word of their testimony. It says, after you believe on him, then you testify of him. It says, when you receive him as your Savior, then you speak it out and you give testimony. With the heart, man believes, and with the mouth, with the tongue, with the mouth, you give testimony of what has taken place. We are born again. And number three, and this is just as important as all of them, that they learn to not love their own lives. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when Jesus in the gospel says he was ministering to people, some of them thought that he came so that they could get the things that they wanted. And that was the focus of what their heart was about. And he said, listen, he said, if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And he wasn't talking about he doesn't want you to enjoy or have any fun. He was talking about there's a greater kind of enjoyment that you can enter into as you receive him and as you learn how to deny yourself. Like, this is what I would like to do, but you know, maybe you've got something better for me to do. And you enter into that and it winds up being more fun. Winds up being greater delight. Amen. Make the Lord your delight. Well, that's that Revelation 12 and verse number 11. Now I'm going to do these three areas again. Okay, see them? The blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they love their life, not unto death. Now in Revelation 17, watch this. And verse number 14 says, these will make war with the Lamb. I'm talking about the evil powers that are loosed at the end, right before the coming of the Lord. They'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those that are with him. I'm going to ask you a question now. What do you think I'm going to ask you? Are you with him? Come on, preach with me. Are you with him? Praise God. You know, one of the Old Testament saints, he drew a line in the sand and said, those of you that are with him, come over here on this side. I wanted you to demonstrate it. All right, I'm leaving that side and I'm moving to this side. Have you done it? Praise God. He said, the lamb, how many of you know that the lamb's overcome? And we know that, don't we? I know Jesus is the victor, don't you? But how many of you say, but I could use a little bit of that victory in my life. I could use some of that. Well, he's come to abide in you. Now watch, but it says, the Lamb has overcome, for he's Lord of lords and King of kings, and those that are with him. Thank God. Those that are with him, they're overcomers too, because you know what? They are called and chosen and faithful. Now, on my diagram, I have those three lined up right underneath. Remember from Revelation 12, 11 says, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their own lives. Now, what's this? It says, those that are with him, they release that overcoming power of Jesus because they are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. So I'm giving definition to it. I want you to understand how it's getting worked out. All right, praise God. There's a, when I was a kid, we had a book called Collier's Bible Stories for Kids. And it was my favorite thing to do late at night. My dad would read Bible stories to me. I had two favorites. Probably all the kids have two favorites. You know what they were? I love David and Goliath. Yeah. And I love Samson. I love the story of Samson. Samson always is always hard for me because I always loved to hear about him whooping up on the Philistines, but I always got so sorrowful there at the end when he was made fun of and mocked and wound up laying down his life. But then a great victory came, and in his laying down of his life, there was a spirit of victory that was released. Well, in that story of Samson, I'm going to read to you now from Judges chapter 13. Remember these three areas we're talking about, the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they don't love their own life. They lay down their life. They are called, chosen, and faithful. That's how you overcome. That's the formula for overcoming, and it's already built into you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Judges chapter 13, I'm going to start with verse 22 and 23, but you have to know the story. An angel came and visited with Manoah, that's Samson's dad, and his mom. And he told him that you're going to have a son, and he's going to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and he's going to be supernaturally powerful, and he's going to overcome the Philistines, and he's going to bring great deliverance to the house of Israel. And so that was a wonderful word for them because they were old and they were barren, and they'd already given up on having children. But the angel of the Lord said, you're going to have this child. And so it was Samson's mother that first received the word. And she went home and told her husband. And she said, who visited you? She said, I don't know who he was, but he was like an angel of God. And he said, did you ask him his name? And she said, no, I never thought about asking him his name. He said, well, if he comes to you again, find out what his name is, will you? Well, sure enough, he came to them again. And this time they did. They asked him, they said, you know, she said to him, she said, my husband said for me to ask you what your name is. He said, how is it that you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? I don't know if you remember or not, but from Isaiah 9 says, his name, speaking of Messiah, the coming of Jesus, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And so there was a It was a divine visitation is what was going on there. I'm just telling you, you have to get this. The only way you overcome is by that divine visitation. It's Him. Him who's in your midst that gives you the power to overcome. And so, now, watch what in verse number 22, because I'm looking for that pattern of overcoming. Chapter 13, verse 22. So Manoah said to his wife, after the angel of the Lord came to him, because they thought in those days that if you saw an angel or you saw something supernatural like that, that you were supposed to die. They said, we shall surely die because we've seen God. See, he knew when he said that wonderful is in your midst. We've seen God. So he thought they was going to die. But his wife said to him, praise God. Come on, I'm going to talk about coronavirus now. Because some people think they're going to die. Did you hear? And if you think you're going to die, wait a minute. It says, but his wife said to him, wait a minute. He said, we've had it. We're going to die. And she said, wait a minute. If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. I gave you three elements earlier about the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. How is it that they overcame the spirit of Antichrist? By the what? By the blood of the Lamb. Does everybody know what a burnt offering is? That's where a lamb, an animal, has to be sacrificed, and then it's placed on the altar, and the fire of God consumes it. It's a blood offering. Now watch. She said, wait a minute, we're not going to die because of these three things. Praise God. I love it when the Word of God comes together. If the Lord had desired to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted that burnt offering. And he wouldn't have accepted the grain offering. That's the next one. Remember, the word of their testimony, the grain offering. And the next one, nor would he have shown us all these things. And he wouldn't have told us such things as these at this time. And we got these three right here. I'm talking about working your way into the faithfulness of God and God being able to lead you by his spirit. The final picture I've got up there for you is the Father who gives the Son, the Word of God in our midst, and then the Holy Spirit inside us, these three. It takes people that don't believe in the Trinity, you know, they don't get the picture because it takes these three. I'm thankful that we have a God in his heaven who thinks about us, aren't you? But how many of you are just as thankful that he sent his Son to shed his blood for us? And how many of you even see what completes it is that third part right here where he comes into us by the power of his own spirit and starts bearing witness with us that victory is not only there in heaven, but it's ours right now. Amen. All right, praise God. I want to give you now some pictures and patterns of the overcoming power. This is the one I think she missed maybe today. Okay, I'm going to hold off on that one for a minute. I want to just share real quickly in your thinking, because most of us here know some of the basic Bible stories. I remind you of Samson because there's a pattern that you're going to see happen over and over and over again. In the life of Samson, it starts off with the announcement of the favor of God, doesn't it? And victory is coming, and power is coming, and destiny. And this child is destined to rule and reign and get victory for you. Praise God. And then you know where he went from there? How many of you know that Samson went from that place of favor? He slid down and he found himself in the pit of lust, didn't he? I'm telling you a story. See if you can relate to it or not. Because if you don't, I'll just jump to the bottom line here for you real quick. Did you know that God's the one who created you and you were created in his own image, like God? But how many of you feel it? Well, I'm looking for some of that right now. Well, the problem is we've slid down into something. Yeah, we've slid down into something and we've lost something, like what Adam lost, his ability to fellowship with God because of the power of sin, and was separated from God. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Amen. Right. So we've got this pattern of the favor and then the pit. And you know what? Samson was made a slave after that. He was bound up and made to grind the, was put to work in the mill, grinding out the grain. And so it was a great descent. But how many of you know that he who descended also ascended? Don't you love it that the story didn't wind up? Poor old Samson. You know, he went down to the pit and he died a slave. No, he didn't. He rose up out of that, didn't he? Did he or not? Thanks be to God. Come on, you want to hear this story so many times? Every time I read it here, he rose up out of that. And the victory and that resurrection, the victory in him coming up out of that place of pit and slavery, he was exalted in a higher place than ever. There was a young man named Joseph. Everybody know the story of Joseph? And he had great favor upon him, didn't he? Was he, remember the coat of many colors? What did that mean? Does everybody know what it means? It means he was his father's favorite. Amen. This is where the favor is. This is where the favor of God is on him. What happened to him, though? He went from that place of favor to where? His brothers sold him out into, first of all, they put him in a pit. And then he was sold into slavery. And he was then falsely accused and sent to prison. But is that the end of the story? Is he going to die there in the prison, you think? You know what he did? He preached the gospel to the brother prisoners in the prison house. And he came out of the prison house. Does this sound like a familiar story to you? Over and over in the scripture, you're going to hear this. Because as he is, listen, so are you in the world. Here's a word for believers that are worried about coronavirus. As he is, so are you in the world. I mean, we might slide down into this, but are you coming out of it? Come on, hallelujah. Because the pattern is set, can't be changed. Amen. Well, we got Joseph, and he wound up being the savior for the whole world. Coming up out of that again, he came up out of the pit. Thanks be to God. Well, how many of you remember the story of a fellow named Job in the Bible? If you don't know, Job started off, you know how he started off? Said he's the richest man on the earth. What happened to him? Lost it all. Did he stay down there? What happened to him? He came up out of it with twice what he had before. Why would God tell us a story like that? Because he wants you to know in the world you will have. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world in that same spirit. And how is it that you overcome the world? Even by your faith. Amen. It's that same spirit. All right. Praise God. Listen, I'm almost done. Everybody remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son grows up in the father's house. And if you don't, you know, sometimes you don't think about this, but do you think there was any favor that was there? You know how much favor he had? He went to his father and he said, I'd like to have my part of the inheritance, and I don't want to wait till you die. I want mine now. And you know, the father gave it to him. He gave him his inheritance. So did he have inheritance? Was he a wealthy man? Was the favor of God, of his father upon him? Yeah. What happened to it? He found himself in the same pit, didn't he? Found himself in a pig pen, in the same pit. And from out of there, what he did, he turned and he came to himself and he started thinking about his father again. in his father's house, and he said, I'll return. And when he came back, his father saw him coming. He said, when I get back there, you don't have to give me anything. I just want to be a servant in your house. He said, no chance you're going to be a servant around here. And he brought him back into a full inheritance again. See the story? He was exalted again out of that. He was brought up out of that. Well, thanks be to God. Now, I could give you about a dozen more, but do you get the picture? All right, praise God. How about Jesus himself? Was his beginnings with the favor of God? Isn't it? When Jesus was baptized, when he was just, see, I mean, first of all, the prophets prophesied over him great favor. Oh, Mary, thou art highly favored, because this one that's going to be born of you is God's son. And then when he was baptized, remember when he's 30 years old, he's baptized, and he came up out of the water, and a voice from heaven, what'd it say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Come on, proud father. That's my boy. Amen. Amen. Is that the favor of God? And was there power on him because of the favor of God? What happened to it? Come on, what happened to it? He was falsely accused, put in a pit, wasn't he? Descended. How far did he descend? All the way into hell. So, man, you can't get any lower than that, can you? What do you do while he's there? Preach to the prisoners in the prison place. Because he was coming out of it. Because the Lamb overcomes. And those that are with him. Praise God. Come on, those that are with him. That be us. Those that are with him. I'm with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Things might look bad, but I'm with you. Amen. Come on, keep your eyes on him, because I know what direction he's going. He's coming up out of this. Keep your eyes on him today in the midst of all this. All right. Well, you got that pattern there, and then the body of Christ, we've got it following up. Now, my last point for you is this. Beware of she bears. Who ever heard of that? Anybody know what I'm going to teach you now? This is from 2 Kings chapter number 2. Let me turn to it. Let me just prep you for the story. There was a great Old Testament prophet named Elijah, and Elijah had a young minister working with him whose name was Elisha. Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah had a powerful ministry and great favor of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was on him. It was called a mantle. And he was able to work miracles, able to multiply food, able to speak a word and get people that couldn't have children, they could have children. He could open up blind eyes. He could pray for people and have them get healed. See, there was favor on him. And Elisha was his young servant and a fellow minister, and he was in his school. And so when Elijah got ready to go, you know what he told Elisha? He said, Elisha, I'm getting ready to leave. And Elisha said, oh, no, you don't want to leave. He says, yeah, it's going to be better for you that I go. I'm going to leave. And he says, before I leave, I want to ask you, is there anything that you want from me? And Elisha told him, he says, I want a double portion of the Spirit that's on you. And he said, whew, you've asked something pretty tough. But he said, you can have it. Only one thing you got to do. How many of you know what it was? Keep your eyes on me as I leave. If you keep your eyes on me while I leave, how many of you know that when Elijah was leaving, it was probably the darkest hour of Elisha's life, but he kept his eyes on him. I'm telling you, in the darkest hour, when people are going through their hardest times, there's our new brother that we have here joining us today, Joe, that last year was probably the hardest year of your life, wasn't it? The last part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Because see what he had to go through? That's how can you get through that? Thank God for the power. Thank God for the power of God that can show up in somebody's life, and you can make it through because he'll sustain you. And so in the midst of that, all right, does everybody see what we're doing? He said, keep your eyes on, I believe that if Joe keeps his eyes on God, God will hold him up with the saving strength of his right hand and won't let you be overcome. There's going to be feelings, but they're not going to overcome you. God's greater. The greater one lives inside you. Amen. Now, here's what I wanted you to get out of this story. I'm going to sum it up for you out of 2 Kings chapter number 2. Right after Elijah was taken up, the mantle that was on Elijah fell, and Elisha went over and picked it up. And if you don't know, Elijah went up and left. And so Elisha went over and picked up that mantle, and he put him, and the power of God showed up on him. Amen. Now Elisha starts walking in that power, and so here's what happens. There's some water that is sour, and Elisha, the very first miracle he does, Elisha goes over and he cleanses that water so that the people can have clean water to drink. And there were some young people around. They were called ruffians. It's interesting. It even gives the number of them. There was 42 of them. 42, most of them think this kind of rebellious teenagers. Some young people. 42 ruffians that were hanging around. And they saw Elisha coming. And Elisha had a hairdo kind of like mine. How many of you like my hair? Sophie came back. Grandma took her to the store last night, and she brought home some of those hair things. She got pink hair and purple hair, and I tried to talk her into letting me wear some of them. She says, "You can't wear those. She says, you don't have any hair to hang them on." So Elisha was evidently a bald-headed man. And so these ruffians, they saw Elisha coming, and they started mocking him. And you know what they said? Listen to what they said to him. They said, "Go up, baldy. Go up, you old bald-headed man. Go up." They laughed and poked at each other, and they said, "Go up, go up." What would they say that to him for, I wonder? Because I want you to get this. Do you know what Elisha had burning in him? Because, see, what was on Elijah had fallen on him. And you know what happened to Elijah? He went up. God brought him up. And you know what Elisha had on him? That spirit that was bearing witness and testifying. I'm going up. I'm not staying down in this. Amen. That overcoming spirit. Praise God. Now listen. They started mocking it. And you know what happened to him when they started mocking that man of God? A sudden anger rose up in Elisha, and he turned toward those, and there was 42 of them. That's pretty good little gang. 42 of them against one old bald-headed man. 42 young ruffians making fun of one old bald-headed man. I don't know if you get what the story I'm telling you or not, but there's a heavy spirit in the world today that would mock and make fun of a handful of believers that would dare to believe that God is greater than anything that we're going to face, and he's going to bring us up out of it. And that mocking spirit would say, "Go up, baldy. Go up, baldy, you old broken-down old man. You got no power. You got to talk about this hope of you're going up." And it struck him the wrong way. Now watch. And so Elisha turned to him. You know what he did? And he cursed him. "Oh, I thought this was a man of God." He cursed them, and two she-bears. Who knows what she-bears are? Well, they're mothers. You don't want to mess with a mother bear. Don't want to mess with a mother bear. You don't want to mess with a mother anything, do you? Those moms will get you. And two she-bears came out of the woods that was right there and went over and mauled all 42 of those kids. This is one of the hardest. When I went to Bible school, this was one of the stories that kids just, they couldn't appreciate this story. They said, How could this man of God? You mean God did that? Kill 42 kids because they're out of control and mocking him? But see, you got to get what the picture of it is. Because I want you to understand something. There's a mocking spirit in the world today. You know, all sins can be forgiven, can't they? Except one. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to you now. Listen. Because that spirit that fell upon Elisha that said, I am an overcomer. I don't care what I look like. I might look like a broken down old bald-headed man, but I'm going up because the one that went before me made a way for me. Woo, praise God. Come on, I wish I could run because I'd just take off running. I wish I could jump because I'd just jump all over the place. Watch. I might look like I'm a broken down old man, but the one that has gone before me has made a way for me, and I'm going up. Hallelujah. See, there's victory here. Victory in my heart. And so that mocking spirit. All right, praise God. I'm almost done. Let me read to you. Well, maybe I am done. Maybe that's enough for today. Here's what I wanted you to know then today, and I'll return to this a little bit next Sunday morning, maybe this Wednesday night. That the Word of God, when it comes to divide asunder. Hebrews 4:12 says, God's Word is alive and it divides. Jesus said this. He's came to us. He says, boy, we're so glad here. Now, Lord, just you, the Prince of Peace, just bring peace. He said, you think I came to bring peace? He said, I came to bring division, a sword. What is it that you're going to divide? I'm going to separate spirit from flesh. Now, listen, I want you to understand that God wants you to know that in your own life, His Word will divide spirit from flesh. Life from death. Choose life. Choose life. Jesus hanging on the cross, isn't he? How many crosses are there right there on Calvary? Three of them. Jesus in the middle, isn't he? Did he come to bring division? There's the one on the right and one on the left. What's the one on the right say? The one on the right says to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. What's the one on the left say? He mocks him. That mocking spirit says, if you be Christ, then come down from that Christ, save yourself and save us. He has nothing to say to him. At the time of the coming of the Lord, he gathers the nations together and he divides them. And he says he puts sheep nations on his right and goat nations on his left. And to the sheep nations, he says, come enter in to the place that I've prepared for you. And to the goat nations, he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Isn't it something? See that division taking place? Does anybody know that Deuteronomy 28 has two parts to it? The first half says, you obey and here's blessing for you. And the other says, you reject and here's cursing for you. Choose life. The Word of God comes. See, when situations come and it's God's hand, church, I'm telling you, there's a spiritual nudge going on in us right now. Get closer to God than you've ever been. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't accuse. See, God has given you a chance to choose life. Amen. Whatever life's going to bring you, here we go. Boy, I'm choosing blessing, choosing life. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, thank the Lord. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, everybody in here is going through something. We've gone through different things. We thank you that, Lord, whatever we face, even the valley of death, the shadow of the valley of death, we don't have to fear any evil because you're with us. So, Lord, we turn our hearts to you again today. We have a chance today, Lord, an opportunity to choose life, to choose blessing, to choose to think on things that are above. Lord, we do that today. We open up our heart. Lord, instead of choosing to remember all of our sorrow, we remember your goodness. We are thankful today for your faithfulness. Thankful, Lord, that you've come to hold us up with the saving strength of your right hand. Lord, we're so thankful that, you know what it says? It says this is some good news. He said that when a plague comes, I'll be a place of safety for you. You can run into this place of safety. Now watch. It doesn't say we'll get rid of that plague. As a matter of fact, it says one will fall at your right hand and 10,000 will fall on the other side of you. So in other words, it's still going to be there, but it won't come near you. Isn't that, how is it that you overcome even by your faith? Believe God's word. Stand with him and receive him. I don't know how quick he's going to lift that thing off of this place, but I know this. His grace is upon you. And this is your time to come up out of that pit of despair. And this is your season to experience the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you today for bringing spirit of comfort and peace and grace upon your people. Lord, we pray for brothers and sisters who are in the valley of decision now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that instead of going the one way and venting anger and disgust and that mocking spirit, I pray that they'd feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit and turn toward you. Find out about your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your friendship, Lord. We pray for one another. We pray for our nation today. Deliver us from evil, O God. Bring us into your presence. Praise you, Jesus. Now let the word of God do its work. Hallelujah. Amen. Great comfort for you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Thanks for coming today. Good to be with you. Amen. Praise God. All right. Take advantage of whatever's going on this week, and we'll do the best that we can. Hallelujah.